Better buying power at the Pentagon is only one example of attempts to innovate in the acquisition space. The new acquisition core that is set up like the U.S. Digital Services Office is another one, but they're focused on policy and process. Mike Fischetti is executive director of the National Contract Management Association. He says we spend too much time thinking about process and not enough about people.
All the news with regards to acquisition usually has to do with either there's a problem that needs to be that's occurred, and then there needs to be a resolution, and somehow we take an individual problem and we widen it to some sort of systemic issue that usually, in my mind, revolves around an acquisition regulation, a process, a policy, or something like that, as opposed to perhaps more systemic issues that are embedded within all procurement issues. So I think that it is a people problem. I firmly believe that the tools are there and that it's a matter of execution and proper leadership and support to ensure a good, solid execution.
You write in this piece about some examples of that, and I want to talk about one of those with you in a minute. But what does effective leadership on innovation look like, people-wise, in your view?
I think it's first off, having the proper resources, making sure you have the right people, whether it's quantity or quality, to execute the mission. And so often, and whether it's in the contracting office or the program office, we see people that are they're insufficiently staffed, they're distracted. There's a lots of things going on, lots of moving parts, and we don't have the proper time to really think through, properly plan, and properly execute. And so when something goes really well, it's really noteworthy, but oftentimes it's haphazard, it's quick, we're trying to get things done, and we're not really focused on it. And focusing means from the top to the bottom, to those that are actually on the front lines, to the top agency leadership that are ultimately responsible for the proper mission.
It sounds too like that maybe we could use some more attention from the non-acquisition people who would be able to give cover to those top acquisition folks and say, this is really important, we should be paying attention to this, and we should be investing here.
Absolutely. I think in most agencies, whether those folks are defined as, quote, in the acquisition workforce or not, in most cases, everyone in the agency is somehow involved and needs to be supportive of the acquisition process. And whether it's popular or not, they are part of the acquisition workforce. Most government agencies execute missions through government contractors, whether it's through the products they receive or the supplies that they or the services that they deliver. And everyone is involved. It involves everyone. So certainly the contracting officers have their role, but so do the program managers and everyone involved, and it takes a team. So, to throw things over the fence and saying, well, that's in the contracting office, out of our hands, that's not proper. And I'm not saying that's the case in all cases, but I think that it's often is true. And it really does take a village and everyone in the agency to recognize the important role of acquisition or program management to proper execution and proceed accordingly.
And that's actually not possible in, for example, the Defense Department. I talked to Mike Sullivan of the GAO last week, who did some work on this and defined the times when it's actually quite common for a defense procurement, especially a weapons system, to be taken out of the hands of the uniform leaders who are trying to develop the requirements and the capabilities, and something goes completely to the acquisition folks, and there's no collaboration or discussion after that point. And the chiefs want that flexibility back. They want that collaboration back. So there are cases where people have to actually go out and campaign to get that kind of collaboration level.
Yeah, there's a little bit of responsibility on both sides. On the one hand, the acquisition folks, whether it's in DOD or elsewhere, are the ones trained to execute. They're the ones that are knowledgeable of the processes and policies, et cetera, and the requirements folks in many areas are not attuned to all of that. But on the other hand, the requirements folks need to step up and be responsible. That requires a little bit of a learning curve on their part so that they understand the bigger picture and their role and responsibility in it, because oftentimes, as we all know, how those requirements are defined will determine how they're ultimately executed. Are the requirements achievable? Are they do they meet? Are the requirements available in the marketplace to be fulfilled? Are we gold plating? Are we properly sizing our needs to what's available and achievable and affordable? And so I think the requirements community needs to be brought closer into the acquisition system, whether they need to be ultimately responsible for execution of the acquisition process itself, I'm not too sure, but they certainly need to be brought into the mainstream on that, and I think that there's plenty of room for both sides to gravitate towards something in the middle.
Mike Fischetti's executive director of the National Contract Management Association, writing about acquisition innovation in the Federal Times and focusing now on leadership. And you cite an example of the innovation cell at the Department of the Navy as something that you really like. You cite it as a good example. What in particular do you like about what they're doing there, Mike?
I think it's somewhat of an iterative approach, and it's open communication to all the parties that are involved all along the way. So there's what they're doing is not rocket science, innovative in terms of breaking new ground. I think they're doing what I think the FAR and policymakers have always intended, but sometimes we don't see enough of. And so they look at the technology that's available. They look at where how it fits into their needs. They're communicating with the contracting community, with the marketplace, with the requirements people, all steps of the way, and modify their approach as they go along. So I think it's that open communication, not trying to swallow it all in one chunk, but looking at it iteratively and with reality as to what's achievable again. So it's that open communication. It's not stovepipe throwing it over to the next office to sequentially perform a series of tasks, but that there's that constant feedback mechanism. And I think that's what we often don't see enough of in acquisition programs.
You pose an interesting question in this piece, Mike. You write, this acquisition approach isn't only allowable but encouraged within the current regulatory and policy framework, but why limit it to IT? Where else do you think it might work, Mike?
I think almost anywhere. I think IT gets a lot of press because in most agencies, it is their largest single investment, in acquisition. So IT gets a lot of press, but the philosophy and management processes that are often pointed out as ways to improve IT acquisition apply as well, whether it's weapon systems or the wider area of services, where services are 50% of the spend in DOD and probably in higher in most civilian agencies, but you don't see that sort of projectized approach towards services or ultimate responsibility. It's done piecemeal, and so there are so many ways and initiatives from category management, strategic sourcing, different types of tools that could be employed in the services area where a lot of money is spent that I think would just totally improve the process. And an innovation cell like the Navy example is it's nice, a positive example of something that certainly requires a wider application.
You write, today's acquisition system is a highly visible symptom of the political institutions of which it's embedded. What's the implication of that view on the concept of trying to make acquisition changes and then make those changes stick without the political changes that would give those folks a little bit of breathing room?
Yeah, I think you have high-level executives and agencies with particular mandates and agendas, which is fine. And then you have the execution side, and I'm not so sure there's a total appreciation of the whole team approach that's required. You have oversight committees, you have oversight bodies within agencies as well as external to the agencies, all looking at things from a different perspective. And I don't think that we look at it at a holistic level. And so, if you're down there as a project leader or a contract manager trying to execute your individual requirement, you don't necessarily have that top cover. And so we tend to kind of go down a few layers and pinpoint particular issues that I think come from a higher level systemic problem. So, if it's the contracting officer, if we're following a wrong strategy, how did we get to that point? How much thought went into the acquisition planning process and who was involved with the acquisition planning process and how long did it take to get the proper funding and how much of a teamwork approach did we take? How much of an enterprise approach did we take towards those things? And I think we tend to kind of look for problems or look for solutions in a piecemeal way. And I think ultimately we need to look higher, not lower, for the solutions to problems in acquisition.
And you follow on with that by mentioning continued focus on the contracting officer, PM, specific policies and regulations is merely change at the margins, you call it, Mike.
That's correct. They're a cog in the wheel, and they have a lot of authority and responsibility, but quite frankly, they don't often have a lot of the resources or internal authority within the agency to affect the changes that need to occur. They don't necessarily have the ear of the higher level officials and the technical community, the requirements community that are delivering these requirements. So, how long did it take to get that requirement defined, and how long did it take to locate the funding before it ever got towards a project office or a contracting office? And so they're at the end of that assembly line, and that's where the problems can often blow up. But I think they often go back far below. How much time was spent on the market research? research, so before that RFP went out, all those sorts of things. So it's, you know, the policies are there, the process is there, certainly the resources aren't necessarily always there. The education and training can definitely be improved, but beyond just the acquisition workforce, but to the wider workforce as well. Everyone in government that's involved in any kind of execution of mission probably needs to be far more sensitive to what acquisition is and what it means and the skill sets that we have to define that. I think we should, the agencies should look further beyond the kind of staffing and skills they recruit today to ensure more of those business and acquisition-related skills in their overall employee mix.